Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Appreciate it. What an incredible atmosphere the Spirit of the Lord has provided for us this morning. The reason why we asked you to do these prayer cards is because part of the, activation of this teaching is we want everybody to participate. And the way we have done it for many years in the prayer group is that at the end of every meeting, we'd always fill out a little card and pass it to the left or pass it to the right, and we would know that someone is praying for us all week. And that's what we want to do today, give you the opportunity to focus on someone else on purpose. Put it on the front of your refrigerator. I'm sure you go there often like I do. So that's usually where I put mine. So I want everybody to have the opportunity to pray for one another. So Nelson asked me this morning, what's the name of this message? And I quite honestly can't even forget what I told him because I was pretty wrecked when we got out of the prayer room. It's interesting to see how God works all things together. But I would have to say it's intercession from a place of intimacy. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Each one of us here has a piece to the puzzle, and I'm going to be holding two pieces today because my friend Ron is away on a family matter. So I'll be sharing the portion that he would have shared. I first want to say I love the flow, the fluidness that we have at our church. I love the trust that God is building in us as a community of people. I love the way the Father confirms that we're on the right track through all the little nuances of prayer or words or prophetic words that have been spoken to us. And even this morning, you know, Diane didn't know that Stephanie was going to relate to Psalms 24 about the gates, and the voice of the Lord being on the waters is something that we have been speaking about. And it's just so interesting to see how God weaves everything together. And it says, you're doing good, kids. You're on the right track. And I love how this new song talks about the humility. We can hear well when we are in a place of humility before the Lord. So, you know, this morning I just want to say there are so many different ways we can pray. And today we're just going to present one way. But we have, the Bible shows us that we have prayers of petition, we have prayers of supplication, we have prayers of declaration, proclamation, and intercession. And it's different. It's different even in the foundation of the word. So for those of you who don't necessarily call yourselves intercessors, I believe Miss Stephanie made it perfectly clear that each of us carry the glory of the Lord inside of us. We carry the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and he knows the heart of the Father. And so we have no excuse but to say what he says and do what he does. Because if we call ourselves Christians, if we say that we have given our heart to Jesus, then we can walk like him in this area of prayer. And he prayed many different ways. But I want to say to you that the foundation of this word, intercession, means pagah. It is a word that represents the tearing. It's an old ancient Syrian word that means to tear. So that's what we do. That is what we do. Sorry. This is what happens to me when I don't follow my own notes. God help me, please. Okay, what I want to say, I'm going to back up. This is just me. This is what happens when I get in the presence of the Lord. I just get lost. My head goes in a million directions. I know why I brought up that to tear is because of the word that Brian Higby gave us about being an arrow. That's what I wanted to talk about first, is that he said that all of our names are written on the shaft of an arrow. This is what he saw in the spirit. And the intercessors were like the point on the arrow and the feathers on the arrow, helping in prayer, helping to release the prayers that carry us to the next place where we're going. But when he gave the word, he said specifically that it's important for us in this next move to press into that picture, that word that he gave us, because the possibility of it falling apart is very possible. It's possible. People dive in with 2 feet, and then a month later, they take 1 foot out, and before you know it, 6 months later, they're walking away from a commitment they made to pray. It's not easy to hang in there. So I am asking you to take what we're going to share this morning and just consider it before the Lord. And as Pastor Charlie said, he said, prayer is the foundation of everything. We can't have a fulfilled life without prayer. We can't have fulfilled careers or ministry. Nothing can happen without prayer. So we're just asking you to, I guess, press in a little bit deeper so that this family that God is building here, the intercession can become the cement that holds the bricks together, because we have great things to do for the Lord in the future. One other thing that Brian mentioned in his word was that in this process of being formed into this arrow, there is tension applied. And I don't believe there is anyone in this room that isn't going through something. I see some people smirking, myself included. I mean, we are under pressure. A lot of us are in the pressure cooker. But God is building inside of us this strength from his grace. It comes from no other place but from the grace of God. And so, isn't it so human-like to call out to God when things are tough? Right? Isn't that, sometimes that's our go-to. We don't go to him unless we are in places of pressure. So we're hoping that as we talk today, that God stirs something inside of you to really seek hard after him all the time. All the time. The purpose of prayer is what Jesus said when the disciples said to him, "Lord, how should we pray?" And he began by "Our Father." So it comes from that place of intimacy, and intimacy is cultivated through relationship. You make an effort, you know, get into your word. Typically, the statistics show that only 10% of Christians read their Bible every day. And I miss a day here and there. I will tell you that. I'm very fortunate in the life that I have, creating flags and writing and stuff like that. I mean, the Lord is always on my mind, but for me to purposely sit down with my Bible, I probably do it 5 days a week and not 7. And I'm sure that a lot of people are like me, you know? So, but our purpose here today is just to share with you the mechanics of prayer and how it all begins in intimacy. So now I want to tell you the meaning of intercession. It is the word pagah in Hebrew, and it means to strike upon, to strike against, to assail with petitions, to urge, to come between, or to obstruct. So it's different than a petition prayer or a declaration where I'm telling God how great He is, or I'm proclaiming in a proclamation prayer where I'm proclaiming everything He's done, or in a supplication where I'm just really in that place of my emotions and I'm praying out of my emotions. So intercession is different, but it can take those forms because we're all different. I pray different than somebody else. I mean, I can be intimidating at some times, and I know that because I am just like a tank going off when I pray. What? A buzzsaw. Okay, yes, I'll take that one too. But my experience, my prayer life comes out of my own experience. When I said yes to Jesus, I hated the devil so much. I was so tangled up in pornography, adultery, drinking, drugging, everything else, that I had such a hatred come on me for the devil. And that is reflected in the way I pray. It may not be in the way you pray. Maybe you don't have the background I have. But my background, that's all I know how to do. I just want to knock his head off. You know, and we need people in the body of Christ like me. But we need people in the body of Christ that don't pray like me, but get the same results. Maybe they have different personality. Okay? So we have to learn to accept each other for who we are, for how God created us to be, and to honor one another. Okay? Because, listen, sometimes Miriam and I have had this conversation. I am saltwater taffy on the inside, if you get to know me. I will do anything in the world for you. I'll give you my last dollar. You know, I am soft on the inside and hard on the outside. Miriam is soft on the outside and hard on the inside. She's a fighter. But you don't see it because that's not the way she shows herself. But me, I'm just me. So some of us are loud and some of us are not. But that doesn't discount the quality of the prayer that you pray. Or the intention. It's the intention of the heart. You have to have the heart of the Father to intercede for others, to really get there in the mix, to get in the gap between heaven and hell is where you're at. It's between heaven and hell. Sometimes that is absolutely needed. So I want to show you a little bit about Jesus. He is our chief intercessor. So we use him as our example. Okay, so Hebrews 4:15. Okay, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So this is beautiful. So when the prostitute walks in our door, the heroin addict walks in our door, still high, the homeless man walks through our door, smelly, dirty, disorientated, maybe drunk. We have to be like Jesus and receive them in that way that he did. He was able to sympathize. He was able to empathize. And some of us are very hard-hearted. We're still protecting. We're still got this pride thing going on that, okay, it should be this way or that way, but man, when they start coming, it's going to be God's way, not our way, okay? So we need an open, empathetic heart. I can remember, I'm going to share with you something my granddaughter did 2 years ago, I guess. We were sitting when the chamber was that front room, and we found my granddaughter, Michaelin, opening up the door to this church, talking into the air to an empty parking lot. Come, everybody, just come. You're welcome. That's what she was doing with her arm. Come, come, everybody, you're welcome. That's a little prophet. That's what's going to happen. And doesn't the Bible say the little children shall lead them? So us big shots, we don't have all the ideas. We don't have it all. The kids can show us something. So I pray into that prophetic word. Do you know the prayer team still prays into that prophetic word? And we're saying, come. In Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when we have the proper perspective, we can see God's people and pray for God's people appropriately, as if Jesus was working through us, because that's what's happening. Number 2 Corinthians 5:20. Is that what I gave you? Yes. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So this is the heart condition we have as intercessors. We have to be empathetic. We have to know from what position we're praying. And we have to recognize that we carry the kingdom inside, and that's our job, is to show it through our actions, through our prayers, our tenderness. And I love, we prayed this again this morning in the prayer room when Eddie Robertson was here, and he made a statement regarding the tagline for our church, where sonship is revealed. And he added to it, he said, where kingdom is released. And we're still praying into that. But do you know, the only way the kingdom is released is through each one of you. It's not just through the leadership or the 10% typical who put their heart into the church. The kingdom is revealed through every single one of you. And Colossians 1:19-20. So when we pray, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And everything was like, the man with the big stick upstairs is going to take your head off, you know, if you eat fish on Friday. If you don't eat fish on Friday. There was always this persona of God being this nasty guy upstairs, you know, who just wanted to knock your block off. And the thing of it is that he has an awesome purpose. He says in his word, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So that is a beautiful, it's like, who wouldn't want to do that if you were connected to the Lord? You would want to link arms with him. And like Pastor Charlie was talking about, being yoked to the Lord. You would want to do that. You have the right perspective. You have the right heart. It's like, okay, guys, let's link up with the King of Kings and take some turf in this area. And we are dirt. Don't forget, everybody has a bit of Adam in there, made of dirt. So we want to take turf this way too, not just territory, but people. So I started saying this, that intercession from a place of intimacy. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And I'd like you to take a look at Psalms 149, verses 5 through 9 with me. So we each and every one of us have a level of intimacy. And guess what? That level is up to us. We have a choice in that. We can have like this incredible relationship with the Lord. And I look at people like, you know, like Heidi Baker, and it's like, oh my gosh, to be like that, to have that. It's like, but that is her gifting and her calling. And she is a leader in that area. She is an ambassador, not just to the world, but to the church. To the church of, you know, to the body of Christ. So when we look at this verse, this is a lot of what happened this morning. To let the high praises of God be in our hearts and a two-edged sword in their hands. Think about that. What does that mean? Like when Stephanie was talking about the high praise of God in this house, what does that mean? What is the difference between praise and high praise or worship, or how do you figure that out? Everybody, based on their personality, has like their own thermometer of intimacy with God. What you're willing to give up, what part of you are you willing to allow him to invade and take over? There's one thing that, and this mic is here for you guys. If you want to interject anything, you're welcome to do it. When we think about intimacy, it means different things to different people. But praise comes from a place of relationship. High praise comes from a place of deep relationship, like surrender with the Lord. And this is where intimacy comes from. That's why when you pray, if you don't pray from a place of intimacy with the Lord, you, like Pastor Charlie said a couple of weeks ago, you can end up being an angry person. Or if you stand in the office of the prophet, you can be an angry prophet or an angry teacher or an angry pastor. You can be an angry person if you don't come from this place of joy. And that only comes through relationship with the Father. So the deeper we cultivate relationship with him, the deeper our joy, the deeper our intimacy, the deeper we understand how he would do things. And we can set aside our own ways, like the song was saying, was talking about. Our own ways, our own ideas are just going to burn up anyway. So if we're going to pray and partner with the Lord, then the best thing to do is just to do it his way. And we learn his way by spending time with him and talking with him, creating relationship with him. In that is trust. Trust is determined, or the level of trust. Okay. So I could say so much. I'm not. I'm going to kind of go over this a little bit quickly. Let me just look. Okay, here's another point. Yes. Okay.
If a person is angry,
yes,
wouldn't anger prevent intimacy? So they need to experience a human Jesus, because anger is an outward expression of a deep hurt and unresolved.
Right, but that's in your soul.
It has to be for it. Women can come to Jesus at a certain level of intimacy. It has to be intimate.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. But desire, the communication between us as children of God, created beings, is in your spirit. So, I mean, people have... Yeah, it hinders, but it doesn't extinguish the opportunity to have intimacy with the Father, because it's like a person who has a bad temper. You don't always... Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's a reality.
Yes, that is a reality, but it doesn't prevent intimacy.
It's also probably one of the best things to lay down and surrender in that moment of high praise.
Right, exactly.
It would release you from that. It would give that ability to go to that meeting.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, well, we do come... Yeah, I understand that. We do come to the throne of grace in our time of need, and it might be during the time of worship or any other time. But yeah, the more you lay down, that's the whole point. The deeper, the more you trust God with your junk and you let Him have it, the deeper your relationship can go in Him. And the more you can do for Him because you trust Him, trust who He is. So in Psalm verse 6, where it says, "Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand." I don't quite think it's in my throat, but we become worshiping warriors in intercession is what we do. We become worshiping warriors. You cannot intercede without having a heart of worship. We can worship in high praise because we become in union with God, to know Him. That's what it means in Hebrew, is to know. In verses 7 through 9, it talks about, this is Old Testament. You have to realize this is Old Testament. And like Pastor says, you take it through the cross and you kingdomize it. So here we see that as it was written, execute the vengeance written, the punishment on the people, bind their kings with chains. This is a pattern of prayer. This is, if you take that and you bring it through the New Testament, you see that the love of Jesus Christ, His shed blood, has brought us to the place that we can take His word and we can release it with His intention, which is filled with love. So, yes, we're executing the judgments written, but when you look up the word judgment, it is a it's considering all of the circumstances and then choosing what is the best path to go. Sometimes in intercession, you might curse the root of poverty in an area, but at the same time, release the blessings of the Lord. So we use this as an overall blueprint for prayer. David did, Jeremiah did, Daniel did. It's all about starting first from this place of rest, because the scripture tells us that this is done, this high praise, this executing the judgments are done from a place of rest. Rest and intimacy in the Lord. And it says that this is our honor. And honor in this sense means to show forth the manifest glory of God. That's what we have the honor to do, to show forth the manifest glory of God by releasing His word. So I am going to pass it to my girl here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so bad. So the point I want to make right here is the greater our level of intimacy in our relationship with God, the greater our ability to discern His will and to respond to Him like Jesus did in John 15, 19. Kathy, you can put that up. John 15, 19. Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. For whatever His Father does, these things the Son does in like manner.
Whatever you read is
not what they're Lord. All right. Hello. I don't know. My notes say John 15:19. Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. Wrong address, but right scripture. And that is what we do. You know, that's the purpose, is just to do what Jesus would do. Okay, Miss Hannah.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. All right, so if you want, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 15. It should be up on the screen, but I'm going to read it from my Bible. All right, it says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but become an example of the faith in speech and conduct and love and faithfulness and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself in the public reading of your scripture to encouragement and to teaching. Do not neglect your spiritual gift, within you, which is given to you throughout prophecy, with the laying of hands on the elders. Practice these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be clear to all. All right, so my first point is we want to be an example of the love, you know, God's love, and how he was an example through love by loving everybody. You know, it talks about how he would walk around and, you know, all these Roman, you know, soldiers would be like, I hate you. Why are you here? You're not the Savior. And he would still love them. He wouldn't fight back saying, well, I hate you too. No, he would love them. So we need to be an example of love to all men and to all people that we encounter. Even though we are young, and I'm speaking from a youthful perspective, even though we're young, we are ambassadors of the kingdom, and we still carry this mandate to represent Jesus, and his mission on the earth. Just like I said, how he went and throughout the Roman time, and he, you know, pushed through, you know, all the hate that, you know, they carried in their hearts, and he still loved them. Our example is desire to the pure, pursue God and encourage, even empower others to desire to do the same thing. And the best examples we can give to others is as young people. You know, we need to be the best we can be as a young person, and especially during times like this when, you know, the world is just so full of hate and everybody hates themselves and everybody hates other people. You know, you really got to push through that, you know, norm, you know, as mm-hmm. I would say, and be a light and be, you know, something other than hateful and like depression and all that kind of stuff. So neglect not the gift that is in you. You know, don't neglect the spirit, like it says, the spiritual gift that God has put in your heart and what he has put on your heart to do throughout the world. Developing a relationship with the Father is exercising your gift and develops intimacy with him and with others. So the more you exercise your gift, the more he'll teach you and the more he'll talk to you about, you know, what you're supposed to do and what your mission is. Each time we exercise the gift, we are developing a trust. You know, we're continuing to strengthen our relationship with him throughout, you know, as we are doing that. So so we're developing a trust, which in turn is enriching our relationships with other people, you know, because we're going out in the world and we're exposing our gift and teaching other people, you know, what we're about and all of that stuff. We're enriching our relationships with other people, but we're enriching our relationship with God, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important things that mm-hmm. you can do.
That's right.
I mean, it's essentially what he puts you on the earth to do, to grow in intimacy and to grow a relationship with him.
That's right. Amen.
We become more deeply intimate with God, and we are able to exercise our gift more freely. You know, once you start doing something like, for instance, art. I wasn't good at art when I first started doing it, but the more, you know, you work at it and the more you chisel at, you know, what you're doing, how to perfect these kinds of things, the better you will get at it. The more we know God and the more we trust him, the less we fear. Because if you go and talk to somebody, a complete stranger, you might be a little nervous, you know. But once you start talking to them, you become friends and you become, you know, brother or sister, like in the spirit. And you just get to know this person, you know. As a fearless generation, we can accomplish great exploits for him. You know, it's just really important that we become fearless of, you know, we don't become afraid of being too positive or too happy or excited about something that God is doing or becoming too intimate with him. So there's nothing to fear in becoming, you know, exposing yourself to him. Give yourself to them. Holy. I think that's how you say it. Holy.
Holy.
Holy. Okay. We give yourself wholly to them, that the fruit of the gift might be profitable for all. The younger generation has certain advantages than the older one. Sorry to say. Not only stamina and physical, but sometimes spiritual. You know, it talks about in the Bible how, you know, the younger generation, like she said, the younger generation mm-hmm. will, you know, is the lead, you know, in the, yep. They are living in a society where the moral challenges are greater than ever. The opportunity to live a life exchanging grace as the answer is the greatest example. Living in grace is living intimacy, because when you're in grace, you're just so, you know, you're just calm, and you're like, you just, like she said, leaning into him, resting into him. And so that's part of intimacy, you know, resting into him. The fruits of their gifts can exponentially, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. Okay, sorry. The fruits of their gift can exponentially affect the harvest in the way that those of the elder generation might not have an opportunity. The devil is more aggressive and more than the previous years. So he, you know, yeah. Sorry, I was gonna say something, but no. All right. My last point.
Oh, you can say.
No, okay. I totally forgot. I was spacing out. There are more of us to speak into the future. So you know, as young, you know, I'm sorry to say, but as you get older, you know, you start, you know, getting tired and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when you're younger, you really, like, are excited. You're into this new thing, and you just want to tell everybody about it, you know. Yeah, sorry. Right, so as a younger generation, we are just now stepping into a relationship with him. So we're all excited about this, like, ooh, what can I do for him next? Ooh, what's he going to show me next? So we're really, like, just, our eyes are just like, whoa, and we're just in, like, just covered in this amazing, like, well, what is he going to do? You know, just crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's all I got to say.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure. So I'll pass it on to Diane.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Oh, yeah, sorry. You have to.
Yeah, because I want to talk about what she just said, her last point. There's more of us around to speak into the future, and that is true. And because of the circumstances and the kind of moral decay that's in the world, those of us that are spirit-filled and focused and discerning on what the Spirit is doing and saying, is we speak up. Even, you know, her, she, at that time she said that she was only 10 years old, but she had it in her to see that there was, spiritually, that there were people coming into our house. And just like Hannah was saying, you know, the younger generation, yeah, they have more stamina. They may be more aware spiritually than we are. And the Lord says that the important thing, all of the prophets throughout the Bible and the prophets of our day are saying what they hear the Lord saying. It's like giving us a directions, guidance, making us aware that maybe we're on the wrong path, or we're not on the right path, or we're not on the path in the right place, or whatever. There's so many different variables. But Matthew 4:4 says that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. My version says proceed, the preceding word. So it's not just what's written in the Bible that we have here, but it's what is the fruit of this that keeps coming and coming and coming. It's the ever preceding word of God. And there are those among the body of Christ that sit in the office of the prophet, or those are that some that have the prophetic gift, or there's some where the spirit of prophecy hits them in a service and they have something to say, because the ever proceeding word of God. And I think that is one of the things, how we can facilitate that or support it, is through intercession. It's like when we take the words of the house that have spoken over the house and we pray into them. We pray into them. We're still praying over that word little McCalin released a couple of years ago. So we don't live by this alone, but also the preceding word of God. And there she goes.
There I go.
Yeah. We all have a little piece to this puzzle, you know. Pastor Charlie gave me the opportunity of using the team And so I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want to say? You know, what is the strategy? Because the arrow point, you have to make it skinny and hard and pointy. You have to hammer it the right way, the right temperature, in and out of the fire. And the thing is, you know, there's all different ways to get it to the where it's supposed to be. And I just felt like in our prayer ministry here at the church, I want you to see that it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what your gifting is, if you have a heart to join with us in prayer, we have given you opportunity by sharing with you the monthly happenings, in the weekly happenings. Pastor Susie and Diana make sure that the prayer focus for the month is in there. This is one way in your home you can join with us and pray into the monthly prayer focus. But in your person, I mean, you're invited to come. Every Sunday morning, we're in there at 9 o'clock, and every other Thursday night, which Miriam will speak about, they're in there from 6 to 7, I believe, and they pray for the department. So we're going down the line here, giving you a little buffet. A buffet.
Buffet.
Okay.
I'm reading from the Amplified Version, and we don't have that up there, but the first scripture that I wanted to read, and that is in 2 Peter 1, 19 and 20. We have the prophetic word made firmer still. You will do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, filthy, and dark place until the day breaks through and the morning star, which is Jesus, rises in your heart, knowing first this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. When I was growing up and a tornado was predicted, as a child we lived out in the country and we had what was called a fruit cellar. It's kind of like a hole dug in a wall or in the ground. Anyway, in that fruit cellar was an oil lamp, but in order to get to that place, we had to have a flashlight to steer the way. Otherwise, we couldn't see it. It was dirty, it was damp, it was squalid. But the light is more powerful than the darkness, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because the light scatters it. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul said that we should desire to prophesy because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A prophetic word is like a piercing light. It's like an arrow that hits its mark. When we're united in ministry of the reconciliation, facilitated by prayer, we're standing in the gap. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing.
Yes,
we're partnering
amen.
With God. We're pulling down, listen, we're pulling down heaven mm-hmm. with the prophetic words that we give. Amen? In other words, we're pulling down the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The prophetic words, they actually are speaking forth the future. It has the ability to transform them into what it was supposed to be in the first place. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, catch that one. Rodney just did. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's been many prophetic words that have been released over this house, and I'm only going to hit on just three of them. But the first one was that the identity will be a training and equipping center. Well, I asked Google because, you know, Google knows everything. So I didn't really know what a training and equipping center was supposed to be, but I knew that Google did. So anyway, this is what she said. Training center is an on-demand learning platform that is home to an ever-expanding library of teachings. To have a training center account, you must first engage. It's entirely free, and any additional users at your company, once you enrolled, you'll have access to the courses relevant to you. In addition, the training and education team work with retailers and suppliers to create specialized courses. in the little over a year that my family and I have been here at Identity, we've attended three different schools, one on the Book of Revelation, the prophetic school, the healing school. Plus, I've had two sign language classes beside the Bible, getting ready to do another one. But besides the Bible, I've read six books, and Identity has had two community outreaches. They're planning their third one. We've had several conferences, and I'm getting to my point here in a moment. But with these conferences, we have had some of the most leading giant-killing prophets in the 20th century. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors that we have in this house. We have the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Whoops. I got to make sure I'm on the right one. I have to change pages. Okay. We have been trained. We have been empowered. We have Amen. The kingdom keys.
Amen.
To change this world, our world, and the world out there.
Yes. Amen.
To release the peace, the joy, the love, and to release the prophetic.
Amen.
Which actually brings me to my second prophecy over this house, which is Identity will be a spiritual hospital. Well, the Father's intention for His house, His church, is to be a spiritual hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the sick can come in to get well. Well, I didn't Google this. I just thought in my own mind this one. Gary will appreciate it. When I walk into a hospital, the first thing that I see is usually the staff. Sometimes I see nurses. I see a few doctors, fewer specialists. I see janitors, probably. More CNAs or nurses' aides. But my point is this. All of them, each one of them, are necessary to make the hospital function appropriately,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Without the doctors, we would have, and specialists, we would have fewer diagnoses, fewer surgeries, more deaths. Without the nurses, we would have no meds. We wouldn't have specialized care. Without the CNAs and the janitors, we're going to be sleeping in a dirty bed that's dark, in a dark room. Well, our house here is like a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Where people come in to get healed spiritually, physically, and mentally through the prophetic words that we give them. We declare healing. We are the head, not the tail. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We've been given wisdom. We've been given ideas. We have been given divine strategies. And Luke 10:19 says that we have the authority to speak over and release healing. Mm-hmm. And over death. Proverbs 18:21, which you all know, that is life and death. It is in the power of the mm-hmm. tongue, which is the third prophetic thing. That I just hate to have to say this because God keeps telling me. What I'm getting to right now is this last point. I want to know how many in this house said hello to Benny. There are many lost and lonely sons and daughters who are looking for their place to feel loved and accepted. Benny was the homeless man that came in here. He was smelling of alcohol, but he had a big smile on his face. He's not here now. One in three youth have thought of suicide. One in seven have actually attempted it. This is the most fatherless and motherless generation in history. For whatever reason, the fathers and the mothers have just checked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, church, are we ready? Are we ready to shine our lights? Are we really ready to be at the hospital? I can still see, but my vision is impaired. When I have a light that's out in my kitchen. There's three other pocket lights. I can see, but without that fourth light, it doesn't all come together. It's dim. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Everyone needs to be doing their jobs, using their godly giftings, whatever that is, interceding, praying, being a light, and being the hospital. We needed to be the hospital to Vinny. We have the privilege here at Identity to love God's unwanted, God's undesirables back to their destinies. Identity Church is becoming that spiritual hospital. Mm-hmm. And as Stephanie said this morning, catch me up in your story all my life for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Identity needs to be doing. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So these prophetic words that are spoken over our house as intercessors, as those connected with the body, using prayer, your intercession, but also, even as Hannah said, about the gift that's inside of us, you know, for whatever reason, I saw him, but I was caught up doing what I had to do. But the thing is that there are gifts inside of us. And like, I can feel the pain or the agony that Diana felt as she read that. She asked that question and people said, who was Vinny? And so that in itself is a point for prayer. That, as I said in the very, very beginning, to have the empathetic heart of Jesus and not to be afraid of those that are in unfortunate situations. Instead of treating people like that at arm's distance, that we need to use our arms to draw them into this place. I have the opportunity many times, not here, but overseas, you know, where I have ministered to people in dumps or in the sewers or stuff like that, and to talk about smelling people. It's like, but those kinds of situations are going to avail themselves to us again and again and again. And I just pray that we respond. If Jesus can kneel down and wash the feet of his disciples, that is the most beautiful example of love. And so that we would be more so like that. So just in our own, for our own self as a body, I just pray that we respond to the Lord, because I saw not Diane grieved, I saw Jesus grieved. So that as a church we would respond to his heart for the ones he's created that are just lost. It's so important to engage with God. So let's make that a prayer even for ourselves over this week as a body, that we would see more clearly, we would feel more deeply, and we would get ready for those men and women that will come through our door. So go ahead, Miriam.
Well, as Karen said, we meet two Thursday evenings out of the month, which is specifically every other Thursday. And we have prayer, departmental prayer in the chamber from 6 to 7. And when I say we, I say is Mrs. Susan Meeker, Mrs. D. Grimm, and Ms. Lita Thomas. And I really appreciate these ladies, and I thank God for them, for their commitment to this house and for their faithfulness. And because they have been here even when I'm not here. So I thank God for them.
Amen.
Our focus is actually to pray for the departments within our church. First and foremost, we begin by praying for our pastors and administrators. We pray for the elders. And even I have included even the bench of three because they're part of our ministry as well, right?
Amen.
And then we continue to pray for every department in the house. We pray as the Holy Spirit leads us. And our prayers are linked actually to the prayer focus of the present month. This is one of the ways that we can network the prayers for our church. So what we do is we sit and we listen to what the Holy Spirit wants us to pray about. We give the Lord some time. And then we just start using, we use the scriptures, of course, to base our prayers on the scriptures. And then we pray making sure that they are linked to the focus prayers of the month. We use the scriptures because we know that Isaiah 55:11 says that this is the word that comes out of my mouth. It should not come back void, but it shall accomplish everything that I would have sent it for. So I know that we know that when we release the word, we release these prayers, that the Lord will accomplish and will come through with the prayer answers. And this is the way we actually have to network our prayers, because we know that the enemy, the word says in Psalms 10, verse 9, and I will read from here because King James is a little harder for my English. The devil creates a net, so much more should we as people of prayer. It says, he lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So we create a network, but we create a network of prayers to catch the lost and to protect and to pray for the fulfillment of the, all of the words that have been spoken over this house. We as intercessors recognize and operate in the authority that Jesus has given us as a group coming together on behalf of the church, like Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20. He says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So when we pray based on this word, we are actually, this is like a great invitation that the Lord is given to extending to all the believers.
Yeah,
it's actually,
right.
It's actually asking us to come and partner with him.
Yes, that's right.
To pray, engage in prayer, and believe. Because this prayer, especially for me, is really very important when I say the prayer of agreement. Because when I was told that I was going to die, to prepare my house because I was going to die, I was able to come in agreement with a friend and change God's mind, and he gave me life.
Amen.
And he proved that, he proved over and over that he had given me life.
Amen.
And it was just because of prayer of agreement.
That's right.
So that's what we do when we come in this chamber. We are tired most of the time because we all work. But as soon as we get here, we feel empowered and we feel refreshed by the Lord.
Amen.
So when we meet, like I was saying, we position our hearts before the Lord with love. So overall, because every intercessor needs to be filled with love.
Amen.
and expectancy convinced overall that our prayers will be answered and God's will be done in every situation.
Amen.
Because we are in unity, yoked for the purpose of this house, just like Jesus prayed. And he prayed this like 2,000 years ago in John 17:21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Yes.
And I think he's still waiting for that prayer, for the answer to that prayer, right?
Yes, amen.
So, Some of our prayers for this church today, we have been praying for literally for years. But we can see the glimpses of breakthrough on the horizon for our church to be conformed and transformed into the body he designed for this time in history. And we have seen great changes in this house.
Amen.
If we think about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, how this church was, and all that God has done, all the people that have come. I mean, this house is full of leaders and great people, and I know lots of intercessors. That's why we have such a great house.
Amen.
And also, we are living in the fulfillment of many prayers and many prophetic words and the unfolding of the vision he has given to the leadership.
Amen.
As intercessors, we first trust God above all else. And secondly, trust those he has placed over us in authority. Because Amen. That's what the word exhorts us to do. He admonishes to, says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 4. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires that all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth. So the opportunity to intercede is available for everyone here.
Yes.
Like Karen said before, everyone that carries the love of God in their hearts can intercede and take the place and for other people and just stand in the gap for others. So we invite you to join us.
So I just want to... It's very quiet in here today. Very different kind of format for Sunday morning. And we still have things to do, so please bear with us for a few more minutes. I know that Pastor Susie has announcements to make, and we actually have an offering to make and something special to talk about with the Bahamas, an opportunity for us as a church. But at this time, I just close your eyes just for a minute. There's a parable that Jesus talks about, and he says about the seeds and how sometimes it falls on rock and rocky ground, and sometimes it falls on soil that's thin, and sometimes it falls on really good soil. And so I'm believing in my heart, I'm prophesying that we have good soil in this house, and that we may have stepped into a Sunday morning that's a bit unusual, that it is not going to deter our focus as a body or as people that begin to understand in a deeper way how important it is to partner with God, or like Charlie says, to be yoked with him in his plans and purposes for this house. And so, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this presentation. We thank you, Father, for every person who has had a chance to listen. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your power, the power that brings deeper teaching to us individually because you hover over the word and you hasten to perform it. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We are in this birthing process, like the men said at our conference, we're in this place of receiving seed from the sower, Christ Jesus. And so, Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the sowing that you've done in the fields of our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power that brings life to everything we've heard. And I just thank you, Father, that we are going to become the house of prayer that Jesus desired for his disciples to be a part of when he said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer." And so how we sing so often, the fire on the altar, that it would never go out. I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to minister to us the importance of union, the importance of intimacy, the importance of relationship with the one who created us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, Papa. You are the best, and you love us the best, and we receive your love. We receive your love today to become love to others. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.